I was looking at some stuff in the back when not in the back, but out there in my office, and I was thinking about the tithe and offering message that the Lord started me doing that when I started this church 15 years ago. And it's in Luke's Gospel 6:38, and I want to read to you in the Message Bible what the Lord says about giving. Now, all of you know that we structure this church different than any other church that you'll ever know. Maybe besides one, which was my mom and dad's pastor, Butch and Darlene, who pastor the church in Cattle Mills. Ministry-wise, none of us here take a salary. I've never taken a salary in 15 years of this church. And the reason for that is because I believe that we are to be led by the Spirit of God. Amen. And that's how you need to be. When you begin to pray and say, God, where do I need to sow this seed, then the Lord will tell you. And if it's an offering, then, I mean, God might say, hey, I need you to help that ministry that's taking people to Africa or something like that. Now, you'll never hear that in most churches because there's a lot of fear in churches that, well, what if people don't give to the local church and they only give to, you know, Joyce Myers or, you know, another ministry that some might love and get ministered to. Well, how many of you know that we're not moved by our feelings? We're not moved by, you know, what we see or feel or taste or touch. We're moved by the Word of God. And we have to have trust that God will provide. As you know, He's providing for a kids' church that we're building out there. Did you see? I was so grateful, and I'm going to thank you guys as well. But I was so grateful that the windows are up. And now I believe we're going to start putting that roof on and getting it dried in. I don't know if they're going to have time this week because of the rodeo, but probably the next week. I told them I didn't want anybody working on Thursday, Friday, or Saturday because there's going to be too many people here that we would have to work around probably and might be a little dangerous. But anyway, I want to thank all of you that have sown into the kids' church, and we're not done. I mean, getting it dried in is just one step, but then there's a lot to be done on the inside, like electrical and when we put up the walls and so on, the ceiling, the light, you know, everything that it takes, the plumbing, all those bathrooms. There's four bathrooms out there, but here's one thing. I'm very, very excited that our kids, when we dismiss them, are going to go right out the back into their classrooms. It's going to be very safe for them to check in, those little ones. It's going to be safe for them because they're going to be confined to a whole bunch of rooms over there. And I don't know about you, but I'm excited that it continues to come to pass. And it's going to take all of us to continue to sow. So when you give on your offering envelopes, then I want you to continue to be led by the Spirit of God and say, Father, thank you for blessing me. And now I can sow into a church that's doing everything debt-free, that's building into the kingdom of God. Amen? And so, I'm gonna just before we take up tithes and offerings, I want to read this, and then I'm gonna welcome the visitors that are here this morning. Honored to have you, but listen to this. This is in the Message Bible that I looked up Luke 6:38. In the King James, it says, give, and it'll be given unto you with a good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall men give unto your bosom. Amen? But listen to it in the Message Bible. It says, give away your life, and you'll find life given back. But not merely given back with bonus and blessing. How many of you know that when you give back and you give to the Lord, that's planting a seed? It's a principle of God, sowing and reaping. How many of you know that's the principle that God established for all of us believers? He didn't establish go to work from 8 to, you know, to 5. Now, that's what we have to do in order to make the stuff. But that's not the provider, because our provider is God. Say amen to that. If we understand that the reason that we give to the Lord is to operate in His principle of sowing and reaping, that's when I'll show you someone that owes no man but to love them. Because God had just... Now, that's not that we don't work, because God will provide that job. But listen, He'll provide in a mighty abundant way if we'd get our hearts right. Instead of thinking that the preacher's just trying to get rich or the church is just trying to get our money. No. They're actually trying to get money to you. And that's what God wants. He wants you to owe no one. Get out of debt, man. Just love them. So when you give in these buckets, that's the attitude you give with. Amen? Have a giving spirit. And when you give in to that kids' church, don't think that's not a good seed to sow. Because our kids nowadays need to be raised in the kingdom of God. And not by that world that's full of drugs and the things that are happening out there in that world. I'm telling you in Jesus' name. I'm telling you, need to pray over that spirit. We will. Amen. I come against the attacks on people's minds. I mean, I rebuke that spirit. That's what happened to my dad, is that he was attacked in his brain, and I'm telling you, it's not good. And that attack will not stand in Jesus' name, amen? It won't torment the good people of God. And so, glad you prayed, hallelujah. If you are here for the very first time, it's an honor to have you. As we always say, you could probably pass several churches to get to this one, and it's an honor to have you. And so our crowd likes to welcome you. If we don't have to have you come up and dance or nothing, but if you've never been to Cowboy Church before, would you at least let us welcome you? If that's you, just raise your hand up and let us see you. Honor to have you. Thank you for coming. Anybody else? Thanks for being here. Honor to have you, sir. Thank you guys so much. Well, let's come give with a big old shout of praise, too. Amen? Come on. Janet and all the kids are going to come up, and we're going to have a little fun right quick. Yes, ma'am.
So glad to be here this morning. So glad to be ministering with the children today. It's such a blessing because y'all, they have pure hearts of worship for the Lord, and it's the sweetest thing. We're going to sing Hosanna this morning. If you know this song, sing with us and worship with these children. Worship with these children today. Hosanna means Lord, save and deliver. And I believe that He's going to save and deliver. And I'm looking forward to revival, y'all. Revival. Amen. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. I see the King of glory coming on the clouds with fire. The whole earth shakes, the whole earth shakes. I see His love and mercy washing over all our sins. The people sing, y'all sing with us. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. Amen. I see a generation, this is him, y'all, rising up to take their place, selflessly. I see a new revival stirring as we praise and sing. We're on our knees. We're on our knees. Oh, Hosanna. Hosanna. Hosanna in the highest. Hosanna. Hosanna. Hosanna in the highest. Hearts. Open up my eyes to the things unseen. Show me how to love like You have loved me. Yes. Break my heart for what breaks Yours. Everything I am. Walk from earth into eternity. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. Hosanna, Hosanna. Hosanna in the highest. Hosanna in the highest. Hosanna. Hosanna, Jesus. Come save, deliver, bring revival. We pray in Jesus' name. Hosanna.
Thank you. Glory. Amen. Amen. Come here. Help her down, please. I got her.
Oh, we got
her. Here, I'll get the last
one.
Oh! Yeah. Hey, man, thank you so much. I love that. Did everybody see Jesus was being... Did you see His donkey?
Yes.
I think His donkey was tired. But it was here, amen. Here you go. Glory be to God. Well, all right, kids' church has already been dismissed. Our youth, if you're about 12 to up to 18, it's an honor that our youth can go and have a great time. So you're dismissed with a big old round of applause. Youth group, head on out. See you. You'll have a blast in the youth department. Amen. How many brought your Bibles? Now, how many brought your Bible? Let me see them. Let me see all the Bibles. Amen. All right. Good, 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 good. Is this section good? Y'all got Bibles? Jordy, you got a Bible, buddy? Is there really a Bible in that cover? Hey, You got to watch them. I mean, they bring Field and Stream magazine sometimes. And my. Let's let God do whatever He wants to this morning. Amen. I believe that there's been a shifting that's happened at this church where the Spirit of God can begin to do whatever He wants to in these services. And it don't have to be organized and you know, we do this right here and we do that over here. And let's just let God move however He wants to in here this morning. Amen? Amen? As y'all know, in your Bibles, begin to turn to Matthew chapter 27. Matthew chapter 27. I want to prepare all of us for what we're going to celebrate. And we've been doing that the last two Sundays. What we're going to celebrate this coming Sunday, which is the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. Now say amen to that. Because, man, that's an exciting thing. Now, I understand celebrating His birth, the birth of Jesus. Thank God for Christmas. But there's something about now you and I as believers having this power. We're going to talk about that next week a lot. The power that Jesus established by being raised from the dead. But now in the history of Jesus being crucified that we've talked about in some depth the last two Sundays, what Jesus went through, the pain, the things that He went through mentally for all of us. To be able to overcome, you know, a lot of things mentally. This is now the place where, you know, he is given up the ghost. You'll see in Matthew chapter 27, verse 50. Let's read there. Jesus, when He had cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost. Behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain. In the King James is what how that is established. But I like the Amplified that, and at once the curtain of the sanctuary of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. The earth shook, the rocks were split, and the tombs were opened, and many bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep in death were raised to life. Man, think about that, because you just imagine being there. As we know, this is recorded in history, and all the scientists that try to disprove the Word of God can't, because it keeps coming to pass. The only thing that's different is you and I do everything by faith. Now faith, the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. We got to believe that this took place. And I'm telling you, if you'll just believe it, then all things are possible to him that believes. But not just that, it goes even deeper. If you believe this, you'll start understanding the power that you have, you and I have in Christ Jesus, not alone, not by ourselves, because you don't have anything by yourself. Amen. Everything you have been given because you were born again and Jesus is the Lord of your life is due you. And you, man, when you understand it, that's when you can speak to the mountain and you'll do it with some confidence. I mean, you'll tell that devil, you know, where to go, and you'll do it with authority. Not in the flesh, I'm talking in the spirit, praise God. So it's amazed that all of a sudden that third day, the tombs were opened and many bodies of the saints that were were dead in those tombs were raised to life, man. I don't know about y'all, but we need to start seeing some people raised from the dead. I mean, not just physically, but spiritually. I mean, getting excited about this Jesus stuff. That this ain't no game to play around with, but I mean, there's power in Jesus Christ. You know, and we need that power today more than any other day. Why? Well, because Jesus is about to come back and get us. I mean, I believe we're in the last days. And there's no time to be fence sitting or a little bit in the world. No. We need to be all in the kingdom, engrafted into his word, into the kingdom of God. So that when things do happen, since we live in a world, but the word of God says we are not to live of this world. I mean, you've got to get a hold of this stuff, y'all. It's not just coming to church on a Sunday, hearing a good message, and then going out there and really not knowing who you are in Christ. No, taking some authority of that devil that's trying to rip your families apart, that's trying to get your kids into bad things, that's trying to destroy your health. Man, I'm telling you, we ought to take a hold of this word and start fighting back. The good fight of faith, see. So it's amazing that at this time people are being raised from the dead. And now understand that in this day, the majority of people besides his closest ones, Jesus' closest ones, I mean, they crucified him. They mocked him. How dare you say you're the king of the Jew? How dare you say you're the son of God Almighty? And I'm talking a lot of these people were the preachers, you see. Now let's read on. Now, in 51, when that curtain was torn from the top to the bottom, and the earth shook and the rocks were split. I mean, we need to think about that, because all of you understand that because of Jesus being raised from the dead and that curtain being ripped causes you and I now to go boldly into the throne of grace. In other words, we can talk to God and we don't have to do it through some priest. Now we get to go to God ourselves and say, Father, it's me again. Remember that song, Margaret? It's me again. We can say, sir, I thank you, Lord, that you'll meet my need according to your riches and glory by Christ Jesus. But I just want to talk to you for a minute. See, you couldn't do that before. You had to do some sacrificial stuff. You had to bring this, if it was, you know, for your sins, you had to bring this animal to the altar. You had to crucify its blood. And now Jesus became the sacrificial lamb so that we can go to God ourselves and we don't have to do it through some other person, you see, that might have sin. Remember when that priest took your sins into that Holy of Holies, they tied a rope around his leg in case he had some sin. Well, I don't know about you, but I just want to take not somebody else taking my sin to the Lord. No, I just want to go and confess my own sin. Amen? As he might fail, die, and they have to drag him out. And then I got to go kill another lamb. And that's costing us some money, y'all. Never mind. I thought y'all would get that a lot faster. Guys, don't need to sell them lambs. Got to feed the family. 53. And coming out of the tomb after his resurrection, they went into the holy city and appeared to many people. When the centurion and those who were with him, keeping watch over Jesus, observed the earthquake, these are the guards, and all that was happening, they were terrified, terribly frightened and filled with awe. And said, truly, this was the Son of God, or God's Son. Praise God. There were also numerous women there looking on from a distance who were of those who had accompanied Jesus from Galilee, ministering to him. Among them were Mary, of Magdala, Mary, the mother of James and Joseph, and the mother of Zebedee's sons. When it was evening, there came a rich man. His name was Joseph, and who was also a disciple of Jesus. He went to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus, and Pilate ordered that it be given to him. Joseph took the body, rolled it up in some clean linen cloths, used the swathing dead bodies to wrap it, laid it in his own flesh, undefiled tomb, which he had hewn in the rock, and he rolled a big boulder over the door of the tomb and went away. Now, y'all know the rest of the story, right? Because then they, you know, there were some people that said, hey, you remember that this man that's now dead had prophesied that he was going to be raised from the dead the third day. And I'm thinking, and this is them talking, that if we don't watch over that tomb, his disciples are going to come get the body so that it would prove that his prophecy would come to pass. And so, as you know, they went and got some guards to get around that tomb. And of course, the rest is history. Because, man, then you keep reading and you'll find out that, wow. I mean, some awesome things happened. In 28 of Matthew, you'll start reading, and we'll probably go there next week. But you'll start seeing, you know, how Jesus appeared to him, and man, the glory of God. And we'll go to some different scriptures, but I want to do something different this morning. I need a microphone. I need. Oh, I got one right here. I got Joni's. I want to do something, and man, I've got so many notes that I could go. Man, I studied out in Ephesians where when Jesus told them right at that time, and I'll tell everybody next week, where he said, go, make disciples, and baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. I looked up some of these words, but I don't want to do that right now. I think the Spirit of God wants us to get built up in some different ways. And so I want to open up. Very seldom do I ever do this, but I want to open up for just some short testimonies of your salvation experience. Now listen to me. This is not a time to preach. That's my job. Amen? You got to always say that, you know, especially at a minister's conference. You'll go there and you'll be there for hours and hours and hours because everybody wants to start preaching. But a testimony is not preaching. It is what has God done in your life. But I want to be specific. My salvation experience was when I was 10 years old, 1979. And I gave my life to Jesus, and I walked. It was at a vacation Bible school at Otis Baptist Church in Otis, New Mexico, right outside of Carlsbad. Otis is I would say it's to the east, northeast of Carlsbad. And I'll never forget it because it was an experience of my life. And I went home and told Mom and Dad that I'd given my life to Jesus. And of course, they were thrilled being in the ministry. And so it really doesn't matter how it happens. It was just a glorious time for me, and I'll never, ever forget it. Because my salvation, you know, even though I was raised in the ministry, a lot of people aren't raised in the ministry. I'm seeing people giving their lives to Jesus, you know, at the age of 70. And you, well, I gave my life to Jesus at 10. And so I want to just open up just a few people. Doesn't matter who it is, to come up here and just share your testimony of salvation. And it doesn't matter who starts, just come up here right now. And even if it's several of you that start walking up here, God had just prompted you to share, how did you get saved? I mean, what is the experience that That was it young? Was it older? Was it, what was it? Because this is what builds up a lot of people. So come on. Come on up. Amen. Who wants to start? Come on. Doris is our intercessor. She gets in that back closet and prays for all of us. Amen. So hold it close so
okay,
we can all hear you.
I was a Catholic for about 20 years, and about 50 years ago, I was baptized in the Baptist church. I just heard a preacher on television, and I went, and I was baptized, and when I came out of that water, I knew I was born again, and for about 2 weeks, I was floating on a cloud, a beautiful pink cloud, because God had actually come into my life, and I was actually saved. I knew then I was saved.
Amen. I love it. All right. Praise God. Thank God for pink clouds. Amen. Who else? Come on. Come on. Come on. Keep coming. It's my mom. Come on. No, come on up. Just stand up here. That way we don't have to wait on you.
I was 8 years old when I accepted Jesus into my life. And we were actually watching a movie on the prodigal son. And even at 8, I realized that I was missing out. And I went forward. And I can't say that my life at that moment changed, because I was 8 and had been raised in a Christian home. But as I look back now, I see how very special that day was in my life. And I praise God for him and for his death and resurrection.
Amen. Praise God.
Well, I think there's probably some other men in this room that shared my upbringing. But and I don't blame anybody, but my dad cussed. Now, I mean, I think he made up most of the cuss words. And so by the time I was 18, guess what I did? And not only just did I cuss, but then I got in the Army and, you know, I kind of perfected the language of cussing.
Oh, you got good, huh?
I got really good, yeah. And it kind of carried into my life and into my marriage, and I went through a divorce. And I had a business. I had a lady working for me, and she invited me to a church, and I thought, well, you know, I could go to church. And so I went to church, and she introduced me to one of the elders, and he asked me if I was saved, and I said, well, sure, you know, I'm American. I'm saved. We're all going to heaven, aren't we? And he just kind of said, well, would you be interested in doing a one-to-one Bible study? And I don't back up. I don't have reverse. I just go forward. And I said, well, sure, I'll do that. And as a result of that, as a result of him taking interest in me, I realized I wasn't saved, and it's based on Romans 10:9. If you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart, then you shall be saved. And that's where I come from. And I was about 42 when all this happened. So,
glory. Amen. Thank you, my brother. Amen. Amen. Keep coming.
I was saved April 27, 1952. I was 14 years old, and it was Primitive Baptist Church, a little church in Roby, Texas. And that day, there was quite a few people saved. My mother had moved her membership there, and I was just taking it all in. I mean, I was just amazed. And all of a sudden, I heard something say, Jane. And I looked, because I thought it was my mother, but I thought, she sure has a funny, deep voice. And I realized it was God, and he was calling me. Amen. I gave my life to him that day, and I was baptized in a red, muddy creek. I mean, tank. It wasn't a creek. It was a tank, a man-made tank, with about 18 other people that next Sunday. And I wore a white linen dress, because that's what I wanted to wear, and my mother said, it'll be ruined forever. But it was not. It came out white as snow.
Amen. Amen. Glory. Amen.
I was raised in the Church of Christ, and thank God that my parents loved the Lord, and I was raised that way. But so I was baptized at 12 years old, and I, you know, that's what we were supposed to do, and that's being saved. But I remember, funny story is, not preaching, real quick.
That's fine.
Is my diary, the day after I got baptized, for the next week, every morning, or every afternoon, or every evening when I'd write in my diary, is like, still haven't sinned. Still haven't sinned. You know, I didn't understand. I didn't have a clue, and that absolutely was not when I was saved. About 20 years ago, you know, just sitting in my living room, kids are in bed. I don't know where AJ was, but anyway, reading my Bible, sitting on the couch, and something hit me hard in the stomach, nearly to make, you know, all the breath go out of me, and I just hit my knees right there in the living room, and that was my, I don't remember the date, I'm sorry, but that was when my life changed. That veil inside me was ripped, and I had access.
Now, here's the thing. It doesn't matter if you've got a date, because Jesus has the date. Amen. And that's more important than anything.
For me, I literally grew up in the church. I mean, we had a great big mulberry tree in my yard, and the church bus would drive by, and the dude that drove it would stop there, you know, hear this little fourth grader up in the tree, and he'd go, "You want to go to church?" And I go, "No. No, I don't." I finally one day got on that bus, and I started going to that church, and went to that church, and went to that church, and got involved, and it was everything. Now, Corey, this is a little bit of a kudo to you too, sir. But I went through my youth. I graduated from high school. I got married, someone whose parents were deacons in the church, went all the way through it until, you know, there was a rocky time in my life, and on April 1st, 1997, the woman who later on in my life would end up being my sister-in-law said, "Have you ever accepted Christ?" And I said, "I'm a Christian. I've been going to church since I was in fourth grade. But have you ever accepted Christ?" No. I was 35 years old. Never accepted Christ. Been singing on the stage at all these churches that I had ever gone to. Never accepted Christ. That day, I accepted Christ. And I got baptized in a swimming pool that night. And by someone else that was an ordained minister. And so I say kudos to Corey, because Corey never, 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 never closes a service without you having the opportunity to accept Christ.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. Thank you. Amen.
When I was growing up, my mom and dad never went to church. So therefore, they never encouraged me to go to church. And I did go to church twice up until I was 19 years old, and that was with my friend. He invited me. But when I joined the Air Force, we had a mandatory service the first time. And that's when I got acquainted with the Lord. But then it was years later. I was 37 before I got baptized. And then Lord was working on me again. He was really working on me. And it was 1990 before he really set that fire under me to really get into the Bible, to start tithing, to really start seeking him like I should have. And sometimes I wonder, why did I wait that long to be touched? You know,
but at least he touched you, amen?
I'm here now.
Amen. There's a song they must have wrote about you. He touched me. Oh, sing it. Okay, I know. Yeah, all y'all know it.
I, too, was raised in the Catholic Church and went to Catholic school. And I remember my mom and dad dropping us off for church on Sunday morning because they didn't necessarily always go. I think my mom had been excommunicated from the church because she was divorced before she married my dad. But I can remember as a child falling asleep at night crying because I was so afraid of dying. And I discussed that with my dad, and he told me he also had that fear, but he believed in God. I got married 2 weeks after high school. That didn't last, but it wasn't until I was in my 30s, and Roger had a lot to do with it because of his upbringing, but all of a sudden I remember not being afraid to die because I knew where I was going after I died.
Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen. Praise God.
Hello, I'm Julie, and I was saved on February 3rd, 2019, right here in this church. I am 61 years old, and I grew up in the Lutheran church and was confirmed and was baptized as a child, although I remember little of it. And then eventually our pastor left and the church dissolved. And for the 45 years between then and 2 years ago when my husband Scott and I moved to Liberty Hill, I can probably count on one hand the number of times I attended church. And a lot of it was, quite frankly, laziness on my part. The other part of it was that every time I did go, and friends would often invite me, as Pastor Corey has said a lot of times here, I would leave feeling worse than when I got there. And so when we moved to Texas, looking for a different lifestyle, I knew something was missing, and I was actually craving church, you know, a relationship with God. And I saw the billboard down on Highway 29, and it's right around the corner. We don't have to go real far. So while my husband was out of town, I started attending last summer. And what I was so excited about was that every time I came, I learned something, and I felt like I was learning all over again. And so I was so excited to come today to learn more about Palm Sunday, because I'd forgotten. I didn't even know what that was. It had been so long. So I'm so grateful to be here and so grateful to have a new life in Texas.
Yeah. Thank you, Lord. I'm so glad to have you. Amen. Who else? Come on. Morris Bonnet. Morris Bonnet, come here.
Hi. Well, I got saved when I was 14, and a friend of mine took me to a Baptist revival, and I said the words, and I believed it, and I was actually very relieved at that point in time, but that was as far as my relationship went. I had no idea what to do with the salvation that I had. I met and married a very wonderful man who is now deceased. And he introduced me to a very wonderful, loving God. And I was baptized on his birthday shortly after we married in 1993. And then he passed away. And once again, I was kind of wandering lost. I was not a part of a church. And I ran into Corey Ross at a very unusual place. It was at a youth roping. And I was sorting cattle. Because the lady liked the way I sorted cattle, because I could get them in numerical order the way she wanted them in order. Anyway, we went to Corey's church service, and every time Corey took a breath, the man that was running the roping would give away a door prize between every song.
That's the truth. I am not kidding. It was the craziest thing I've ever seen.
And if he paused too long, just for the dramatic effect, Eddie would stand up and give away a door prize.
Yep.
And I thought, oh my, if that man, that's who I need to sit under. So I proceeded to pray Corey Ross into this area. And I'm very grateful that you answered God's call. And God answered my prayers, and you are an answer to prayer.
Amen. Amen. Praise God. Love you. Yes. Amen. I wanted to hear from this man. I know I had to make him get up here, but he has been with us he was at the very first camp meeting that we all started at Smiling V Ranch 15 years ago. And I call this man an elder of our church, and he's been an elder of our church, and no one's even known it, because even though he's ornery. Right, Joe Eddie?
I learned it from him.
He's a man of God, and he's very faithful, and he's been here for 15 years. And so I just wanted you to, let us know how you got saved, or are you saved yet?
I don't remember. It's been too long ago. I was raised in Assembly of God, Pentecostal Church. Came here when he first came here, and I had left Assembly of God way back, and I was looking for a church that didn't have. I raised up in denomination, and I like denomination, but some things I didn't agree with. And I came here and I heard him preach, and he reminded me of a guy that back when I was young, it was actually my ex-father-in-law. They're about the same size and just about as crazy as each other. And but anyway, I loved what he done. I loved the way he preached. And so I just started coming here. And then later on, after about 5 or 6 years, I was fixing to leave the church. I was offered a job in East Texas. You remember that. And he came to me and asked me, he said, "I'm not going to ask you not to leave," but he said, "I really was thinking about making you an elder of a church." And he said, "I would like for you to stay." So I thought about it and prayed about it. I said, "Okay, I will." And I stayed, and he made me an elder. But about a month after that, the job I was going to closed down. So I've been here all this time, and I love this guy. I mean, he talks about me being ornery. His mama right there will testify about it. But he is. I mean, this is just what I wanted. I loved the way he preached. I loved things. He was free. You weren't bound by no denomination. And I've been here ever since, and I hope I stay.
Amen. Well,
if he don't run me off.
You're staying, brother. I mean, you're staying.
Oh, okay.
Amen. Now go sit down. What a blessing. So you've noticed that we've heard from people that's raised in Baptist, Catholic, Lutheran, Assembly of God, Church of Christ. I mean, the list can go on and on. Because in heaven, y'all, we're going to be all together. Doesn't matter. You know, obviously you can tell that not everybody's cowboy. All it is we're trying to get that barn mentality back that Jesus was born in. Amen. Where we're not fighting with one denomination to the other, one culture to another. No, we're just preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen? And I don't know about you, but he needs to be everything to us. So here's a question. Is he your Lord? Is he your Savior? I'm talking about if you, and the Bible is true, and it declares that one day you're going to stand before God Almighty. And you're not going to stand with your children. And your children are not going to stand with you. Individually, we're going to stand before God. And the Bible says it like this. We're going to give an account. Now, according to the Word, Jesus is going to be at God's right hand. He's going to have this book called the Book of Life. Now, if you've given your life to Jesus here, because you can't do it there. The Bible says there's only one way, one truth, and one life unto the Father, and it's by Jesus. It's not by being a good person. You understand that, right? It's not by going to church, as we heard in Vicky's testimony. That's not what saves you. What saves you, that born-again spirits, is when, according to Romans 10 and 9, when you confess with your mouth that he's Lord, and you believe, that faith of belief, man, that God raised him from the dead. Amen. Next week, you're going to see a lot of people give their lives to Jesus. Because, ladies and gentlemen, that's the reason that we're here. That's the reason we were created. And Jesus is going to have this book. Now, on May the 10th, 1979, Corey Ross's name was recorded in that book. So when I stand before God, and Jesus is here, right here, Father, Corey Lee Ross. You see it, sir? God's going to say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. And he's going to declare to me, enter into the rest or the joy of the Lord, heaven. Listen to me. He's going to do that to every single individual person in this room and watching by that television. So the question is what is he going to say to you? Now, I know all of you that's been here so many times, he's going to say the same thing he's said to me. Because you gave your life in 2017, and I gave my life to him in 79, and you received him whenever. I want God to say to all, well done. But regretfully, he's not. He's only going to say that to the ones that gave their life to him. Amen. That's why I'm so excited to lead people to Jesus, because I don't want to see anybody die and go to hell. That place that preachers don't talk about. Amen. Those seeker-friendly churches that have 4,000 or 5,000 people. And this church will be that way one day if we'll just keep preaching the word. Don't be ashamed of that, because the more people are here, the more hear about the Word of God. I don't want anybody to go to hell. And a lot of those churches, they don't talk the truth about hell. Well, it's a place. And it was not created for us. It was actually created for that one called Satan that thought he was God. But, as y'all know, Adam and Eve, and I don't have time to go into all that, Adam and Eve sinned, right? And then God had to send a son named Jesus. Would you please give your life to Jesus so that when you stand before God, he can say, well done, come on into heaven, and not depart from me, you worker of iniquity? See, that's why I travel the country, y'all. That's why I'm not at this church. Even though I'm the pastor, I'm not here 30 to 40% of the time, because there is a harvest out there. It's a mission field, man. We've got to get out there and tell people about Jesus. Because if we don't, I don't want that on my hands. I don't want to be selfish enough that I didn't have the time for my brothers or sisters or family or friends or work associates, that we were so afraid to say anything about Jesus. That's why you see so many people saved at this church. Because that spirit of evangelism is here. That's the question to all of us. Is Jesus the Lord of your life? Forget about sin right now. Forget about what you did wrong back when. I want you to think about right now, because I'm here to tell you, even if you're in sin today, Jesus died for that sin. And he can wash it away if you'll just give your life to the Savior, Jesus. So I present that question to everybody here and those that are watching right now. Is Jesus Christ the Lord of your life? If he's not, pray this prayer right now. And all of you that are born again, pray this prayer with me as well. If you're not saved and you don't know what God would say to you if you died, every head bowed and every eye closed, please. Please. I want you to pray this prayer. And I want you to invite Jesus into your life to be your Lord, your Savior. And I'm here to tell you, if you will, When you stand before God Almighty one day, I don't know when that day will be, He'll say, well done. Come on into heaven. But listen to me. All those, excuse me, that give your life to Jesus this morning or whenever, we are all in the family of God. And we got to start helping each other. Not tearing down each other just because we made a mistake, even saved. Can you believe that? That some of us still make mistakes? Glory. Thank God for grace and mercy. So let's all pray this prayer, especially anybody at the sound of my voice that does not know what God would say when you stand before Him. You don't know if you'd go to heaven. You don't know if you'd go to hell when you die. I want you to choose heaven by receiving Jesus right now by praying this prayer. You ready? Out of your mouth, let's say it just like this. Say, Father in heaven, I open the door of my heart and I confess that Jesus Christ is my Lord. Jesus, come into my life and save me. Be my friend. Be my Savior. Thank you for forgiving me of all my sins. Because this day, it's my God day. Because Jesus Christ is the Lord of my life. I need some help, but I'm willing to learn from that Bible. In Jesus' name I pray. With no one looking around, if your heads are bowed just in honor of God and your eyes are closed, just out of respect of your neighbor, I'm not going to embarrass anyone. But if you just prayed that prayer and gave your life to Jesus this morning, you're now my brother or sister in Christ. You will bust heaven wide open when you leave this earth. It's an honor that you gave your life to Jesus. Because you notice I didn't make you pray that prayer. I can't. I mean, no one can be made to do it. But if you just prayed that prayer and you meant it and you gave your life this morning to Jesus because you prayed that prayer, when I say three, I'm going to go one, two, three. When I say three, I want you to raise your hand up and say, hey, I just prayed that prayer and I gave my life to Jesus. And then put your hand right back down. You ready? I want you to do it with boldness. Is there anyone in here that gave their life to Jesus this morning? If that was you, shoot that hand up when I say three and then put it right back down. Ready? One, two, three. Go. Thank you. Appreciate it. Thanks, brother. Anybody else? Thank you, man. God bless you. God bless you. Glory be to God. Honor, honor, brother. And I mean it. Anybody else? Listen to me. Look at me, everybody. It's time you quit fighting. You quit fighting God. Man, give your life to Him. And not just in a salvation way, but I'm talking about in all ways. I'm here to tell you, we need God more today than any other time. He wants to bless your business. He wants to heal your body. He wants relationships mended. He wants to get you back where you're supposed to be. Amen? Into the kingdom of God. So let's do it. Amen? Thank you, Lord. You are so good to me. You are so good to me. You are so good to me. You're worthy of praise. You're wonderful to me. Sing this. I love you, Lord. I love you, Lord. I love you, Lord. Sing it. And I love you, Lord. I love you, Lord. I love you, Lord. You are so good. You are so good to me. I give you my life. I give you my heart. You're worthy of praise. You are so good to me. You are so good. I love you, Lord. You are so good. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. All right, did you have a good time? Thank you, Lord. There's going to be times when, man, why don't we just let the Spirit of God move? And amen. No announcements. We've already done it. Why don't you stand to your feet?